In this session, we shall look at the circumstances in which trust income is taxed on the settlor. Let us assume that an individual, we shall call him Mr. Settlor, transfers an asset to the UK Trust. In many instances, particularly if this is a family trust, the settlor will often be one of the trustees in order that he may retain some degree of control over the future application of trust income and capital. The trustees have a duty to hold and apply the income and capital for the benefit of the nominated beneficiaries. There is no reason in trust law why the settlor or his spouse or civil partner cannot be included within the class of beneficiaries. If an individual sets up a trust from which he or his spouse or his civil partner can benefit, there are special rules for income tax, capital gains tax, and inheritance tax. We shall look at the rules for income tax within the course of this session. We'll look at capital gains tax and IHT in a later session. Please also note that every time I use the word spouse in this session, I'm also including civil partners within the same meaning. The rules essentially work by deeming the trust income to have arisen to the settlor. Therefore, these rules will only apply to trusts set up by the settlor during his lifetime and will cease to apply once the settlor has died. Let us start by looking at the rules which apply if a settlor or his spouse can benefit from the trust. These rules are contained at section 624 of the Income Tax, Trading and Other Income Act of 2005. Under section 624, income which arises under a settlement shall be treated, for income tax purposes, as the income of the settlor and of the settlor alone if it arises A. during the life of the settlor and B. from property in which the settlor has an interest. This means that if a settlor has an interest in a trust, i.e. he can benefit either from the trust income or the trust capital, the whole of the trust income is taxable in the hands of the settlor. The discretionary trustees are liable to tax at the rates applicable to trusts on all trust income. The settlor will then make an entry on the trust's supplementary pages of his tax return showing the trust income deemed to be his under section 624. This income retains its character in the hands of the settlor as if it had arisen to him directly. Therefore, he will be treated as receiving non-savings income, interest income or dividend income as appropriate. The settlor will also have the benefit of a tax credit of 50% or 42.5% on the trust income attributed to him. In many cases, the settlor will have the same marginal rate of tax as the trustees, and so no further adjustment will be necessary. However, if the settlor's income, including the trust income attributed to him, is less than £150,000, some of the tax paid by the trustees will be repaid. If any income is paid out to a beneficiary of the trust other than the settlor during the year, the trustees will provide the beneficiary with a statement of income from trusts, a form R185. This will show the amount of income paid to the beneficiary, which he must include in his own tax return. However, this income is treated as having had tax paid on it at 50%. This tax credit is not repayable, nor can it be set against any other income tax liability of the beneficiary. So, the beneficiary will not have any further tax to pay, but he will not be able to claim any tax repayment. From the 6th of April 2010, settlors who receive tax repayments because their marginal tax rate is less than the trustees' rate will be required to pass such repayments to the trustees. Any such payments will be disregarded for IHT purposes. Section 624, subsection 1b, deals with situations where a settlor has an interest in a trust. The definition of a settlor interest is given at section 625. Section 625 tells us that a settlor is treated for the purposes of section 624 as having an interest in property if there are any circumstances in which the property or any related property A. is payable to the settlor or the settlor's spouse, or B. is applicable for the benefit of the settlor or the settlor's spouse, or C. will or may become so payable or applicable. This means that if a settlor creates a trust from which either he or his spouse can benefit, the whole of the trust income is assessed on the settlor under section 624. Therefore, the normal rules for taxing the income of UK trusts only apply if both the settlor and his spouse are excluded from benefiting from the trust. Therefore, if a settlor sets up a trust from which he is excluded, but from which his spouse can benefit, the whole of the trust income is chargeable on the settlor under section 624. Subsection 4 of section 625 deals with the definition of one's spouse. It tells us that a spouse does not include one's future spouse. Therefore, one's spouse is the person to whom one is legally married at the point at which the income arises. Similarly, one's civil partner is the person with whom one has legally formed a civil partnership. This means that trusts set up for one's boyfriend, girlfriend, etc. are not caught by section 624. A spouse does not include a spouse from whom the settlor is separated, either under court order or separation agreement, or in circumstances where it is likely that the separation will become permanent. Therefore, for section 624 purposes, a settlor ceases to be married to his spouse at the date of separation, even if at that point they are not yet divorced. Spouses do not include widows or widowers of the settlor. This means that a trust set up by a settlor on his death for his widow would not be caught by section 624. Bearing in mind that under section 624 the trust income is taxed on the settlor via his or her own personal self-assessment return, such attribution cannot apply once the settlor has died. Therefore, if a trust was previously caught under section 624, once the settlor has died, section 624 no longer applies, and the income of the trust is taxed in the hands of the trustees in the usual way. Under section 626, the settlor anti-avoidance rules do not apply to outright gifts made by a settlor to his or her spouse. For tax planning purposes, it is sensible to make sure that assets such as bank accounts or shares, etc., are held in joint names so as to make sure that the personal allowances and the lower and basic rate bands of each of the spouses is fully utilized. This is sensible tax planning and is not attacked by the revenue under the anti-avoidance rules. However, this only applies to outright gifts. Therefore, if a settlor makes a gift to his spouse and attaches conditions to that gift, any subsequent income arising to the spouse will be taxed on the settlor under section 624. Under section 620, the definition of a settlement includes any disposition, trust, covenant, agreement, arrangement, or transfer of assets. Because the word settlement within section 624 has such a wide meaning, the revenue has said that where a gift between spouses is a gift of income only, this will constitute a settlement for one's spouse, and section 624 will apply. Special rules also exist where a parent sets up a trust for his or her children. These rules are contained at section 629 of ITOIA 2005. Section 629 applies where a parent sets up a trust in which the beneficiaries include the minor children of the settlor who are unmarried and not in a civil partnership. In the absence of section 629, a parent could set up a discretionary trust or accumulation and maintenance trust for his children and ensure that gross distributions in the year are made to the children so as to utilize either their personal allowances or lower or basic rate bands. Section 629 makes this sort of tax planning ineffective. However, it is very important to appreciate that section 629 does not work in the same way as section 624. If a parent sets up a trust for his or her children and any trust income is accumulated within the trust, i.e. it is not distributed to the children, then the trust income for the year is taxed in the hands of the trustees and is not automatically attributed to the settlor. Therefore, section 629 is not a mirror image of section 624. Section 629 applies to attribute income to the settlor only when income is paid to, or for the benefit of, the settlor's minor unmarried children. In essence, the income is only taxed in the hands of the settlor when it is distributed to the children by the trustees. Again, this used to be more important when trust rates were lower than the tax rates for individuals. If distributions are made to minor unmarried children of the settlor, there is a de minimis threshold of £100. If the gross income distributed to the child does not exceed £100, it is taxed in the hands of the child. If the gross income distributed to the child exceeds £100, all of it is assessed in the hands of the settlor. This means that if a parent puts money into a building society account for the benefit of a minor child, If the annual interest is less than £100, it will be taxed in the hands of the child and will be covered by personal allowances. This rule enables parents to make small deposits on behalf of their children without falling foul of Section 629. Let us illustrate how Section 629 works by running through an illustration. Assume a father creates a discretionary trust and the beneficiaries of the trust are his two children. Andrew is aged 20 and Zoe is aged 16. Neither of the children are married or in a civil partnership.
As neither the settlor or spouse has an interest in the trust, Section 624 does not apply, and the trust income is taxed on the trustees at the rates applicable to trusts. That is, the first £1,000 at the basic rate, then 50% on non-savings income and interest, and 42.5% on dividends. The trustees will therefore file a self-assessment return and pay income tax in the normal way. Assume that the trustees made an income distribution to Andrew. All income distributions made by discretionary trusts are net of 50% tax and will be certified to the beneficiary on form R185.
Because the distribution is made to a beneficiary over the age of 18, Section 629 will not apply, and the gross trust income will be fully taxed on Andrew. Andrew can therefore use his personal allowances and, assuming he is not a higher rate taxpayer, claim a tax repayment. Let us also assume that the trustees make an income distribution to Zoe.
Again, such a distribution will be made net of a 50% tax credit and certified to Zoe on form R185. However, as Zoe is under 18, this distribution is caught under Section 629. The gross income, per the R185, will therefore be treated as arising to the settlor and not to Zoe. Zoe's father, assuming he is a higher rate taxpayer, will therefore declare the trust income on his self-assessment return. However, he will not have any additional tax to pay. If his marginal rate of tax is less than 50%, some of the tax credit will be repaid.
Finally, under Section 631, a payment of capital to a minor unmarried beneficiary can be treated as a distribution of income if the trustees have retained or accumulated income within the trust. This rule is there to prevent trustees making distributions of capital to minor, unmarried children in an attempt to avoid falling foul of Section 629. Finally, on the subject of income tax, let us look at Section 633 of EITOIA 2005. Section 633 deals with the situation where capital sums are paid to or for the benefit of the settlor. Under Section 633, any capital payments made by the trustees to the settlor will be deemed to be income if the trustees have income within the trust which is available for distribution. The effect of this is to treat the settlor as receiving trust income in the year in which the capital sum is paid. If the capital sum exceeds the income then available for distribution, the excess capital sum can be treated as income for future years and taxed on the settlor in those future years. Section 633 also deals with situations where a loan is made by the trustees to the settlor or his spouse. In this situation, the settlor is treated as having enjoyed a capital sum from the trust and is taxed under Section 633 to the extent that the trustees have accumulated income.
There is one practice question to complete this session.
The only income received by the trustees is the net bank interest of £15,000, which grosses up to £18,750. As this is a settlement created by a parent for his minor, unmarried child, any distributions made by the trustees are taxed in the hands of the parent under Section 629. As the parent has created an interest in possession trust for his son, the trustees are not permitted to retain any income, and they must distribute the net income of the trust to the son. The son therefore has a right to receive the net income of the trust. We know that the gross trust income is £18,750, from which 20% tax was withheld at source. The interest in possession trustees will have no further liability on this income. However, the trustees have incurred management expenses of £1,000. This means that the income available to distribute to the son is £14,000. This will be certified by the trustees to the beneficiary on form R185. The income of £14,000 will carry a 20% tax credit, therefore the gross income certified on the R185
is £17,500.
Note here that all of the trust income is deemed to have been paid out to the beneficiary here, as he has an interest in possession.
It is this amount that will be taxed in the hands of the settlor under section 629. As we mentioned before, it is extremely important to differentiate between section 624 and section 629. In this instance, section 629 applies because the settlor cannot benefit from the trust he created. If a settlor or his spouse can benefit from the trust, the whole of the trust income would have been assessed on the settlor under section 624 with no relief for any trust expenses. This concludes this session on the special rules as they apply for income tax.